When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
1, 2, 3.
So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandal, so they hired someone who killed Steve.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
And we're back. A little different this week. Usually we release Wednesday nights now, but I had some stuff going on this week. We were going to do Thursday. Kiernan told me at 4:30 that he had some stuff come up he had to handle. No issues with him on that. Shit happened. So we have, I think, the first guest on Tailgate in the Quad. Definitely the first this season. I think the first ever. We have Jared from the corner booth back on the show. Jared, how are you doing, bud? Thank you for saving my ass today.
Well, one, buddy, always. When a friend needs it, when a friend asks for help, you help them. I've been trying to go a little drier on weekdays, so I'm trying to hold off my drinking till 6:30, 7 o'clock when our show starts live up here on YouTube. But listen, after what my Hurricanes did last Saturday, I kind of wanted just to drink myself under the table. That being said, also, I am now reassured the ACC is the most corrupt conference in college football. When we talk about Miami later, I'll tell you more about that one.
We'll get into that. But first, I want to talk about corrupt organizations.
Ooh.
The big networks, your Foxes of the world, your ESPNs, your CBSs, they are killing college football. And The first thing that made me think of this, Ohio State, Penn State game this year. Big game. Both teams are doing phenomenally. Ohio State had some struggles, but they're winning. Penn State not really playing anyone. Should be a big game. We'll have major college football playoff implications. You'd think that would be a primetime game, right?
gotta love exclusivity contracts.
Big noon kickoff on Fox. What the fuck are we doing, Jared?
I you know what was so funny? Like, I still think it's better than the fact that like they've had some big games on like NBC for Notre Dame, which I can't stand. They're like, I don't mind Tirico, but he's only good for college for pro football. And the biggest thing to me with a lot of these contracting things, like they're like, oh, big noon kickoff. And it was two mid-tier Big 10 or Big 12 teams. And I was just like, I think it was last week's panel. I'm sitting there. I'm like, how do you bill this? And I swear their marketing department has to like literally just like do like the face palm from like Airplane, because I don't understand how some of these executives, when it comes to like exclusivity contracts and deals with certain networks, have with certain conferences, and like how was the biggest game of the night? It ended up being a huge game. What was the night game? Oh no, there was no great night game for that game 2 weeks ago with Notre Dame and Ohio State. It was a bunch of crappy Pac-12 teams.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. I love when there's two shit teams on for the big noon kickoff or the noon kickoff on ESPN or something.
It's an appetizer.
Yeah, it's an appetizer. It's the foreplay. We've compared a lot of things.
You watch that one on the treadmill after work.
Yeah, yeah. You can just relax. You know, start your morning off well. Watch a little game day. Although I brought up my issues with game day last week. Watch some pregame stuff. Get into a nice shit game you don't really care about, or watch your team have a blowout.
Exactly.
Not arguably the biggest game of the year. It's yeah. ridiculous. Also, did you see what ESPN CFB put out? This also isn't even getting into how the big networks killed conferences by paying certain schools money to leave their conferences. But did you see the ESPN CFB on Instagram put out their best teams in college football?
I did not see. I saw this was trending on Twitter, but I didn't actually see it yet.
So it's all like the teams you expect. Georgia, Florida State, Oklahoma, Washington, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, USC. So, and they have on there kind of their best win. Georgia is, I think they had Kentucky. Yep, Georgia's Kentucky, Florida State, LSU, Oklahoma's Texas, Washington at Arizona, which Arizona's not that good. Michigan. Look, we all know Michigan has played a shit schedule. Like, they haven't played anybody.
Yeah. No.
That's the way to win in college football. It's a way to get into the college football playoffs. You play shit teams, you blow them all out, you get it. But they're putting their commentary on it. It's not best win picking a shit school or just saying no bet, like best win. They don't really have one. It's best win for Michigan. Saturday at Minnesota, question mark, September 30th at Nebraska, September 23rd against Rutgers, question mark against Michigan. We don't. If you want your personalities to give that those thoughts, that's fine. When you're just putting out the information on Instagram, we don't need your underpaid fucking social media manager's thoughts on this. As an underpaid social media manager, nobody gives a shit what my thoughts are. I don't give a shit what this intern's thoughts are.
It's almost like when like so I also work in marketing and social media as well for part of my job, and. You know, my director always says, like, dude, you cannot type emails or social media like you speak. You have to, like, have some kind of professional decorum because not everyone reading your stuff is going to read it in your voice. Like, if I'm listening to a tweet from Pat McAfee or Boston Connor, one of the boys over there at the show, I'll hear their voice. Or if I hear, like, Ian Rappaport tweet something, I hear Ian Rappaport or Schefter or anybody say their stuff. But the second, like, it's a blog, when it's just a graphic, I don't know who fucking wrote this. And so I don't understand, like, if I'm like, why are you putting four question marks? Who got drunk and posted something on your website?
And you brought up, like, if the Pat McAfee show put this out, you would hear it in one of their voices.
Exactly.
It would make sense. It would fit the brand. Because let's be honest, the Pat McAfee show, it's not a super professional brand. That's not how they put themselves out there.
Why do you think
that's why they're successful. I'm not knocking the development of that show, but it fits them. ESPN CFB tries to put themselves out there as a professional, legitimate news source, and they don't. And then Penn State, best win, yeesh, September 23rd versus Iowa, 31-0. Iowa's 5-1.
Yeah, their only problem is their quarterback couldn't stay healthy.
And Brian Ferentz, but...
Well, that's like Mark Richt's kid calling games for the Hurricanes back in the day. It really is just kind of a sad thing.
Like, honestly, a 31-0 drubbing of Iowa is impressive. Not necessarily that they held Iowa to 0 points, but the fact they put up 31 on them.
On that amazing defense, which is what, ranked top five in the Big Ten?
Yeah. Consistently.
Yeah.
So, it's ridiculous, and then also... Oregon's best win was against Colorado where they dominated. And then USC's best win was when they won by 7 against Colorado.
Yeah, no. It's not.
I hate. And that's why for all college football and sports related news, you should go to smaller publications like Belly Up Sports.
Exactly.
We are what they aren't. We don't try to be something we're not.
Like, I only go, like, I'll watch game day if I'm at work and it's slow as shit. Like, it's going to be slow as hell on Saturday. And me and my boss have had this conversation before on a Saturday. I'm basically just there as backup for the guy at the counter. If I'm done with all my planning for next week, I have college game day on my phone while I'm typing. Like, while I'm, like, returning emails. Because to me, if there's no customers coming in, there's no reason for me to be there. So, I will, you know, put game day on. But at the same time, like, the only reason I watch game day is because Fox is just as bad, if not worse.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'll watch it, because there's nothing else on.
Also, they got my boy McAfee, so.
It If you want to hear my thoughts on McAfee on game day, listen to our episode last week.
I did not have a chance yet, so I'm actually kind of intrigued now. I'm going to have to listen to it.
I have some thoughts on that. But moving on from networks killing sports, we're going to talk about an employee of one of these networks. Jared, there's some rumors going around.
Oh, boy.
Michigan State is going from one Title IX violator to another. Allegedly, Urban Meyer is interested in the Michigan State job.
They don't want to last.
No, they don't. Jared, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, like you kind of took the joke that I was thinking of right there. I tried to word it in a way that wouldn't get us canceled. Because remember, the last time I came on this show, I attributed DJU to Domino's Pizza from Ohio State. He's obviously played better because, you know, Oregon State's still ranked right now, so good for him. But at the same time, when I think of Michigan State right now, I think of Michigan itself, like where in the area it's from. I think of water problems. I think of that. I think of issues with, you know, gymnastics coaches or trainers. I think of now with it's Franklin's the coach last name, right? The one that just got canned.
No, that's Penn State.
Mel Tucker. Yeah, no, and Mel Tucker with his bullshit now with the woman with all the allegations and shit like that. Why would you want to bring in more problems? You should hire some Al Golden looking doofus with a freaking tie who's not going to look at anything the wrong way. Because at this point, Michigan State, we all know with Tom Izzo, it's a good basketball school. They've always had the consistency and they've had the prestige of, you know, his kind of shtick, right? But with football when they're thinking of their football program and every other athletic program, I haven't seen anything. It doesn't give me any kind of good vibes. So I don't know. I see the big name hire, but I'm like, ugh, dude, like, is it worth it?
I think they want to change that. I think unlike a school similar to Kentucky, how they're kind of good being a basketball school, they don't really care as much about football. I think Michigan State is sick of being in that tier two or three of the Big Ten. They're sick of being an afterthought. So I think they want to make this splash higher. The problem is, I don't think this fits Urban. If you look at Urban's last two stops in college, not the NFL, we're not going to talk about Jacksonville, but Florida, they had some really successful programs with Steve Spurrier. Really
one shitty program. ESPN documentary.
Yeah, that. But, and then Spurrier left. They found some, they weren't great after, and then Urban came in, built the program back up. Ohio State, same thing. They were starting to fall in some hard times. Urban came in, fixed it, faked a heart attack and got fired again, or left. And Michigan State doesn't have that history.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Urban's a history nerd when it comes to college football, but I think that history shows the school will put more money into the program. And I think Michigan State's a question mark. Are they going to go, hey, we hired Urban Meyer. All right, that's all your budget for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
And I think that should be a concern for Urban. How much money are the Spartans actually willing to put into this program? And
it's not like Prime where he's going to make X amount of dollars immediately because of his charisma and his brand. Urban Meyer doesn't have a brand as a coach like that. And I think this is what really they have to consider almost like it's, I think it's just a bad idea. It's almost like, reminds me of when like that random MLB team every year makes a crazy run for a superstar. They have no business paying and they take the deal, but they're miserable and they're terrible. A la Chris Bryant in Colorado two seasons ago, I believe. Or Zach Greinke going to back to Kansas City. I mean, he started his career there, but that's all in their ballgame. But it kind of gives that same vibe where I'm like, you're too big of a fish for this pond. And I think Michigan State's direction is they have to go in a way of like finding the next young coach. Like they should have went out and got like a Rhett Lashley who like killed it at Miami, is now like starting to lead his alma mater SMU. Go get like a young hot coordinator who has no name preference, who is from some small podunk town, who's already married with five kids, not the Urban type of married, but actually married, and go from there.
Yeah, and honestly, I was apprehensive about the Mel Tucker money at the time. Obviously, now it was a terrible decision. But at the time, it made a little sense. I think they overpaid. But Michigan State's that kind of program where they're not going to make that splash higher. So they have to overpay a little bit for an incoming coach.
Yeah.
Obviously, it didn't work out. But just try not to hire a sexual deviant the next time you do it.
Yeah.
Although it didn't work out before. He had that one season and then was like, oh, sweet, I made my 100 mil. I'm done.
Well, we remember we were also, you and me, watched together like two or three of those games. And they basically relied on the fact that Kenneth Walker was a Pro Bowl level running back. That's basically was 80% of their offense.
Yeah.
It's basically Penn State back when they had Saquon. That's the only reason they were relevant nationally is because they had a all-world running back run the ball for them.
Yeah. I think Penn State had a little bit more to them than that. I think.
No. They had better players, but at a dumbed-down scale.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But also, I think part of that is it's on the coach to recognize that. Like, some coach would go, well, yeah, he is our guy, but we need to get everyone involved. And some coaches are like, no, I'm not going to reinvent the fucking wheel here. I have a historically great running back. I'm going to give him the ball.
Exactly.
So, but no, I'm curious. I don't think it's going to happen. I think this is just, they called him up. He's like, yeah, sure. I'll take the meeting. And then.
And somebody got a hold, some interns like, oh, we got to create some buzz.
Yeah. Leak it. And then. I don't know. Well, he was probably just there as a layover for some reason for Big Noon Kickoff, and then they just said, "Oh, he's in East Lansing."
Yeah, maybe I'll shut these guys up if I take the damn meeting.
Yeah. So, but
tried to do some like sleazy shit walking in to make sure they wouldn't hire him.
Yeah, true. He was grinding up on some co-ed as he was walking into the athletic department.
Just be like, hey, sweetheart, how you doing?
Just sits down. First thing before he gets coached, guys, I'm okay ignoring domestic violence.
It's a big
deal. Here's my reference. It's just Zach Smith's contact information.
And listen, I have no problem disciplining players. Just shows a picture of Josh Lambeau.
Exactly. Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know what my favorite part is? Like, your favorite podcast, your favorite sports commentator in the whole world, Colin Cowherd, used to claim this man as his good friend. And I'm like, hey, Cowherd, how's that rolling for you right now?
Yeah, maybe don't claim that.
I think still my favorite is what you with your sleuth journalism was discovering how I think you sent me the video of how, like, if a quarterback is dating Cowherd's daughter, his opinion of them changes instantly until they break up. Like, he was like all over Trey Lance when they were allegedly dating, and then the second they break up, he's shitting on him. Now DTR, I think, is her current boyfriend, and like he's like praising him. It's sports media sucks.
I don't want to take credit for discovering that, but I've seen it. But yeah,
sent it to me, so I'll give you that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he's a good kid. He's got a strong work ethic. He's great. He's got that dog in him. He's gonna fight and work to
bring my daughter home one time. Wait, did that one slip out?
And then they break up, and he's a thug. Put him behind bars. Cut him.
Like, just goes full like switch around right there.
Howard. What the fuck are you talking about? But yeah, no. So, all right, let's get into the AP poll now.
Okay.
And we're just going to go through the movers real quick. Jared, I'm sorry. Miami down to 25, drops 8 spots. Kentucky down to 4.
Well, LSU moves up. So
that's fair. LSU moves up 1-22, and Notre Dame moves down 11-21. I don't really have thoughts on this. Yeah, Miami kind of deserved it. Kentucky got drubbed by Georgia, which dropping 4 is fair. LSU moving up 1. Notre Dame down 11. Checks out.
Everything kind of makes sense. I mean, I thought Notre Dame was going to fall out of the top 25 completely, but the fact is Louisville is like the new sensational ace. Every year the ACC is that one team who plays above their pay grade and knocks a bunch of teams off. And then I think it was Georgia Tech a few years ago. Then it was Wake Forest the COVID year.
Wake Forest code year. Pitt a couple years ago, too.
Yeah.
They had like one.
I think Pitt's only loss was against like Miami, who was the big, who was the other big one in 2020 before Derek King's knee went. So it's ACC area has always has that one team that's just a fucking thorn in everyone's side. Like nobody's going to knock that the best teams in the ACC are Florida State, 50 feet of shit. Then it's like a cluster of North Carolina, Duke, and Louisville and Miami.
Yeah.
That's
I'm not even for once, I'm not even going to argue with you putting Miami in there because outside of one stupid non-kneel down, they are undefeated.
Yeah, and let's be honest, even that stupid non-kneel down, when you look back at the tape, it's blatantly fucking obvious. I could sell it when I was blackout drunk. I'm like, his elbow was down! I'm screaming at my television. And of course, you know, the ACC refs. Jimmy Johnson had an eloquent quote. He said, if you give the refs a chance, they are always going to beat you. I was paraphrasing there, but he said that after the 87 loss to Lou Holtz in the Fighting Irish. So, kind of fits.
Man, that's Soviet money lining the refs' pockets.
Ryan Day don't like Ryan Day's a true American.
Ah, man, just a true patriot. Number 19, you got Tennessee moving up 3. Also at 19, there's a tie. Washington State dropping 6 spots. Duke up 2. Utah up 2 to 17-16, respectively. I shockingly haven't had any real issues with the top 25 this year.
It's been very good this year. Around like week 3, they actually start getting their shit together. So, I mean, obviously they're always going to – it's like a standard to overrank Notre Dame, so I can't really get on them about that. But honestly, Duke's played well. Their one loss, they basically got freaking mollywopped. But then besides that, like – or it, 2 losses. I can't remember. Yeah, they lost Notre Dame. But they didn't really have any bad ones. I mean, they should have dropped Florida State a lot more when they almost lost to Boston College, because let's be honest, that Boston College team is basically a D2 college football team. And they were talking shit about the red bandanas, and they almost took an L.
Yeah.
But
I think they should have dropped for talking shit about the red bandanas, but
yeah, well that's, I mean, like, listen, the inbreds from Tallahassee are not known for their class. Let's put it that way. But yeah, other than that, honestly, this year I've been very surprised. Like, I was happy they kept us in the top 25. I mean, listen, we're going to have to fight like hellhounds to get back into anything relevant, but you know, whatever.
One loss isn't the end of the world. It's not a death blow to a program with the playoffs. But Louisville, after their big win, they're 6-0, moving up 11 spots to 14. Ole Miss moving up 3 to 13. UNC up 2 to number 12. And South Carolina drops 1 to number 10. Jared, do you have any thoughts on any of those? Again, like, they're fine. Like,
really have no issues. And what's crazy is I think Louisville has played great so far. I think the biggest problem is that, like, Notre Dame is a great team, but they also, I think the back end of their schedule was absolutely brutal. Where I thought Miami's was bad, they finished it with Boston College, which you and me might be end up being live boots on the ground for. But it's weird. The ACC, everyone's schedules in the ACC are so freaking backloaded this year that the absolute chaos is going to ensue in about 3 weeks. So around Halloween, that's when everything goes absolutely haywire in that conference. So I'm not putting much stock in Louisville yet. They had a great win, but also Notre Dame's about as soft as melted mozzarella. So
that's fair. Alabama's look better. I still don't think they should be this close to the top 10. You can't almost lose to USF and be almost in the top 10.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, but you're going to have the Alabama pedigree. It's going to keep you close.
I love it.
I know you do, buddy.
Next up, Texas drops 6 spots to number 9 after losing the Red River Shootout. Oklahoma up 7 to number 5 after winning that game. And then Florida State up 1 and Ohio State up 1 to fill in the gap left by Texas. I don't have issues with it. I don't think Ohio State's going to be ranked here at the end of the year. That team, honestly, I don't like Lou Holtz. I think he was right. I think they're a good team. I don't know if they're a great team.
If you're out physical by Notre Dame, that's a bad sign.
It's a terrible sign.
They might get thumped by 50 by Michigan, and that's horrifying to think about.
They might get pumped by 50 by fucking Penn State.
No, they will. It's going to be at least – you can tell – you know, as much as I give your co-host shit about Penn State, they may put up 45 on them before they even get across midfield.
100%. I also think Penn State has a similar thing going this year as Michigan had last year.
Yes.
With McCarthy, where, yeah, he's not playing great, but he's playing good enough to win. And then once the big rivalry games come up, they're going to flip a switch, and he's going to – he threw for 4 touchdowns 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're going to have to rely on the running game and defense to stay in games against rivalry, because it's – he's playing against, like, secondaries that are just not close to the standard of some of these teams he might face if he could get in the bigger games.
Yeah, so – but I don't know. I'm excited to see kind of how the rest of the season shakes out. I feel like every team this year, the top teams, like, they have a noticeable weakness.
Yes, and I love – we were talking about this on the show 2 weeks ago. I said, listen, this is so fucking delusional, but like, if you told me, hey, listen, Jared, would you put $10 down on your Hurricanes making a run? I'm like, well, the Georgia Tech game kind of put a really big shotgun-sized hole in that, but a lot more than 2020, where like, I'm like, okay, this is all well and good. We're going to run to that buzzsaw headed up by Trevor Lawrence at the end of it. What's the fucking point? This year, it's like Georgia can't score points. Ohio State's about as physical as a box full of puppies. Florida State relies on an all-world quarterback and an oversized receiver. Texas and Oklahoma are good, but they lack holes on both sides of the ball. And I think Texas is severely undercoached. They have a great – I think Quinn Ewers is a great quarterback prospect. I think his biggest problem is they over-rely on the big play, and Oklahoma exposed that. And, you know, every other – and like what? Like Louisville, really? Their secondary is terrible. They're going to play a legit quarterback who can throw the football. Like, honestly, that game against at Miami end of the year might be like a 55-48 game.
Yeah.
So it's, I totally awesome. Agree. Oh no. The end of this football season, all the non-conference games are done. Listen, I got my win. I got to stick it to Jimbo Fisher finally, but like, I am excited from now through like championship Saturday. It's going to be just absolute pure effing chaos, and I'm here for it.
That's true. We need a little chaos to go my way this weekend on my 16 leg parlay.
Yeah, no, you're gonna lose one of them, but I appreciate your sentiment though. I mean, you should have taken Miami, the number line is better.
So I was picking mostly just favorites and then Purdue.
Oh, see, I have Purdue as my gimme.
and here's how this weekend's gonna go. I already know.
Scripts in.
All of these are gonna win. Purdue's going to win. And Notre Dame is going to lose badly to USC.
Yeah,
that's how it'll go, and
who'd
I will be.
Would you take upset. Who'd you take in the border war? Washington, Oregon.
I did not have that one.
I just
went through the first 16.
This show won't drop until after Corner Booth comes out. So, but I took Washington. I was just like something about Bo Nix. And I mean, I got to look more into Washington's defense. Like, I texted my supervisor because he asked me for my picks, and I'm like, I think Washington's going to pull it out. It's in Washington. Oregon's best win is Colorado, which is not bad by any stretch, but like, I don't know. I think that this Penix kid is the real deal.
Yeah.
This kind of reminds me of when Andrew Luck went down to USC when they had John David Booty at quarterback. And they smoked him.
That's fair. All right, Jared. Do you want to talk about Miami?
All right. Hats backwards, boys. We're doing this. We're getting dirty. All right. So let me be honest here. As much as Mario Cristobal is to blame for trying to get that, just making the dumbest call of all time, Miami deserved to lose that game. Tyler Van Dyke looked fucking awful. Some of those, for a guy who honestly should have some Heisman hype the way he's played up until now, and how he played against Texas A&M was lights out, he looked awful. I don't know if he just drank something wrong the night before, his girlfriend said something weird to him the night before, or those stupid club lights they kept blasting during the freaking stadium. Oh, by the way, get those ugly-ass Miami Knights uniforms off that. Go back to the OG black, orange, and greens and stop. Just stop trying to reinvent the wheel. This is why we need to go back to being a Nike or Jordan school, because Adidas ruins everything. But that being said, Miami's defense was there. I think they were so shot by the end of the game. And that was, by the way, that was not a fumble by Chaney. The elbow was clearly down and the ACC was like, nope. We don't want the chaos of admitting we were wrong and costing Miami a win. So we're not going to even acknowledge this, but there were a lot of just miscues, miscoverages. I think they came in thinking they were going to thump because they were looking ahead. It's the most cliche thing on the planet. They knew who's next this week. And everyone's like, oh, Miami hates Florida State. No, there's one team we hate just as much, if not more, right now. And it's the team we haven't beaten since I think Mitch Trubisky was the quarterback. And that's North Carolina. I think Chris Herndon had 3 touchdowns last time we beat him. It was 2017 was the last time we knocked off North Carolina. And so it wasn't Trubisky. It was Chaz Surratt was their quarterback, now NFL linebacker. So the biggest thing for me watching this game was, one, they looked ahead. 2, I think this week we're going to see the real Miami, the same Miami that walked in and just punched Jimbo in the mouth. Now, I don't know what North Carolina we're going to get, because this may be the best quarterback duel of the weekend. And this is what I'm going to talk about on the show, is that like Drake May versus Tyler Van Dyke could honestly be a Sunday football game in 3-4 years. Because both of them are pro prospects with good enough arm talent and good enough mechanics to be solid pro quarterbacks if they get to the right place. Drake May obviously was a lot more pro prepared. But Miami's defense looks unbelievable. And if their running game can recover from that abysmal showing last week, there's a reason it's only a 3.5-point spread. Optimism is the word. We took a ego hit, is the best way to put this.
That's fair. And you brought up the ACC refs earlier, and you brought up Chaney being down. But this is a problem with Cristobal. He refuses to kneel the ball out. Mario, this isn't Madden. In Madden Online, people get pissed when you play it like actual football. This is actual fucking football. Yeah, kneel the game out.
We even Madden kneel the ball because we're like, there ain't no way in hell. If it's too close, I'm taking a knee the entire game.
Yeah, just kneel it out. It's not that hard, buddy. Go home with your win. Live to fight another day. You don't need to put up more points or get more yardage on Georgia Tech. I promise you, nobody is going to care.
They were going to drop in the rankings anyway, because of how bad that game was. They didn't score a point until almost halftime. The Diamondbacks and Dodgers game I was watching on the other screen scored first. So I guess the best – I'll offer you this counterpoint quick, and I'm done chalking Miami, and I'll let you finish. I think Miami was going to lose to North Carolina if they won against Georgia Tech. I think the losing to Georgia Tech was a reality check. And that is a very pissed off, dangerous Miami team. Also, I think they're like 0-8 off a bye in the last 10 years, or 1-8 or something. It's something stupid, like where the record is just ridiculous. It's 2-8 off byes since 2013, 14. So they're like the worst team off bye in college football. But I think 17 was the last time they won off bye. But I digress. I think Miami knows what's on the line. That terrible team in 2022 had North Carolina by the throat, but Drake May just beat him with Josh Downs just down the field. But I think this Sunday's gonna be a good game. So just get your popcorn ready.
I think Miami also has had somewhat an identity crisis the last few years. You shouldn't be in Adidas school. Shouldn't. No.
Donna Shalala deserves to be in prison for that embezzlement.
I think non-Nike and Jordan schools have a certain stigma against them in people's minds.
Yes.
Auburn's an Under Armour school. Maryland's the only one that gets away with it, and that's because the Under Armour founder went to Maryland.
Exactly.
Everyone else, if you're an Adidas school, an Under Armour school, I'm sorry, you're not winning a national championship.
The last Adidas school to win a national championship. Shit. Last Under Armour school to win a national championship was Auburn
in like 2010.
Yeah, Cam Newton year.
Yeah, And so get rid of the Adidas. Just get rid of it.
I think their contract's up in a year or so. Just call Nike, tell them you're sorry. Go to Jordan Brand.
They need to be harassing Jordan Brand. Jordan Brand fits what Miami needs to do to be successful. They need the swagger back. Jordan Brand will fit that.
The Yeezy phase is gone. Like, it's gone. Adidas is not cool anymore.
No, not at all. And then also, get a fucking stadium.
It's on the way. It's on the way. Okay?
USF is getting their own stadium.
Yeah, we're 2 years. We're getting our own stadium. Okay? It's coming. I will be 31 years old when it opens, and I'm going to – I actually plan on going to their first home game.
So, I think that's it. I'm not going to jump the gun on saying fire Cristobal, but he's got to clean it up.
Oh, he's got to clean it up, but this is the best culture Miami's had since 2016 Mark Richt.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of 17 felt like it was where was the linchpin, and it happened against Pitt. 2016, when there was all this optimism, Brad Kaya got us to a bowl win. There was a lot of optimism in the air. This is the best vibe Miami's had since 2016 after we whooped West Virginia. That 17 year always felt a little off, except for the Florida State win. This has that same kind of vibe where it's just we're hungry, we've got nothing to lose, and it's a lot of optimism. But, you know, this was the we're not there yet, guys. Loss.
That's fair. My concerns would be I've talked about this year. Miami cannot handle being middle of the road. And my concern is they might jump the gun on firing Cristobal if another slip up like this happens, thinking the next great coach is out there.
So I think the only thing you got to realize is when it's an ex player, the leash is stupid long. So Randy Shannon had to commit crimes basically to get fired, allegedly.
That's fair.
And like, listen, Al Golden was an outsider. His leash was about as short as it can be. Mark Richt was a player. He retired because the illness was getting to him. Manny Diaz had a short leash because his culture in that locker room was terrible.
Oh my God. That was abysmal. And I don't remember hearing a lot about guys getting arrested and committing excessive crimes.
No, but they were partying.
The
Jarrett Williams year. What I literally said this on the podcast in 2019 with you on the corner booth. I said they probably would have lost only one game if that team stayed sober. And it never made sense to me why they always smoked everyone on 4:30 or night games. But 1 o'clock games, it was always they were down until halftime and they would light you up in the second half. They were fucking hungover.
All right, look, they're all 19, 20. They should not be having hangovers still by 1 o'clock.
I've had a couple hangovers that lasted me until like 5, like when I was like 19, 20.
Okay, that didn't start for me until I was 22.
Yeah, genetically,
now,
with everybody.
I come from a long line of alcoholics, but now I'm in bed. I'm out the entire day. It's brutal.
Dude, I've had to go to work like hungover 4 times last year. It's fucking, it sucks. Oh,
that's why I don't drink a lot during the week anymore.
Yeah.
And also I drink less on the weekends now because my girlfriend loves me and actually spends time with me.
Aww.
I have been a strong proponent on this show, and I have said it before. She has improved my life greatly.
Oh, I know. You're less of a miserable asshole.
Oh, and we've talked about it with Kiernan. Can you imagine how I would be after the Texas game and after the USF game if I was not happy in every other aspect of my life?
Buddy, I had to reality check myself because I seriously was like about to, like, if I wasn't hammered myself, to drive up to Mass to make sure you're okay. And then I'm thinking to myself, oh, wait, he's got someone who gives a shit about him now besides me. We're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. During the Texas game, also, you would have driven up to Massachusetts and then realized I was in Colorado.
Yes, and that's that's probably where my drinking problems. Why, kids, you don't start day drinking a game. Oh, I was drinking because I think that was the same week as Temple, Miami. No, That was the same week as Texas A&M Miami. That's why I was drinking so much.
That's fair.
Celebrating like a freaking fiend. Okay. I'm done talking Miami, if that's okay with you.
Okay. We'll fly through the last two because I know you got to go. Texas is not back. They lost to Oklahoma. This isn't shocking. I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and then missed the college football playoffs or like lose the Big 12 championship. They're building to being back, but
losing one more game. I don't know where on their schedule, but they're close. Yeah. They're closer than Miami is right now.
Yeah, and that's what 99% of programs are. Even Colorado with all their transfers, they're not back to 1992 when they won a natty. But what I really want to talk to you about is Mark Stoops. After getting trounced by Georgia, he was talking about NIL and things. He said, Georgia, they bought some pretty good players. You're allowed to these days, and we could use some help. That's what they look like. You know what I mean? When you have 85 of them, I encourage anybody that's disgruntled to pony up some more. I have absolutely zero issues with these comments. He did not point out, he did not say Georgia did anything wrong.
Yeah.
He didn't say it's unfair. He said, we need more money. Georgia spent the most money in the country on recruiting this year. Their NIL collective.
Okay, so they surpassed Texas A&M this year. Thank God.
Yeah. Their NIL collective is insane. And if teams want to compete, they're going to have to pony up money, as Mark Stoops put it.
I think, you know what? I think the days of this, like, pony up money thing are numbered. I think the NCAA is going to find some way to fucking ruin this. Thank God my university finally decided, hey, you know, we should probably put money in our football program. That might help us get better. You know, The Rock, A-Rod, two billionaire alumni that we have. A-Rod's like a proxy, whatever, it doesn't matter. But anyway, Mark Stoops' comment, it makes sense. But the way he phrased it, it's just optics. It's not great because then you say, hey, Mark, look at the program across your athletic department who had Drake shooting hoops with them during pregame things before NIL became a thing. You guys were known for kind of for players. So I get what he's saying. It's just him being the coach of Kentucky is fucking hilarious because of Kentucky basketball and obviously their reputation. But he's not wrong. Listen, and the best part about this is Georgia is going to be a college football playoff entry possibly, and they still might lose because they can't literally score points. But
yeah, I think that's more a statement to what Mark Stoops is saying, though. Yeah, Kentucky's been paying players for a while, as winning programs have done for the entirety of college football history. If you think they don't, except Alabama, they're clean. They've never paid a single player.
Mercedes Benz. Oh, Jesus.
Hey, nobody has changed hands.
Just changed glove compartments.
Do you know how they got around that?
I'm assuming it's something with the lease agreements or something like that, right?
Yeah, so from what I've heard, the car dealerships they would go to would have a one-day-only special deal where you buy a car, you don't owe any payments in for 4 years. And then if you can't make the payments after that, you just give the car back.
Jesus, that's like, you know what? Ain't the worst thing in the world, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, so if you make it to the league, you make payments or you just give the car back. And then if you don't make it, you just give the car back.
Hey, listen, your boy, the goat of college football coaches, taking care of his players. I find that, you know what? Honestly, that's the most admirable one I've heard of these schemes. I still do like the McDonald's bag of money, though. I think that's still my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It was hilarious. But back to Mark Stoops, I think gives more credence to what he said. Kentucky's had this money.
Yeah.
They just,
but it just shows how much more Georgia has.
Well, it also shows how little Kentucky actually gives a fuck about football. They are a basketball school. They want to be a basketball school. They don't care that much about football.
Yeah, it's – and technically, isn't their baseball team higher ranked than their football team right now or something like that? Or like preseason? I saw something. One of their other pro sports teams is ranked really high. Amateur. I don't even know. Kentucky sports besides basketball to me are about as useless as, you know, those little toothpicks that you get at a restaurant. It's a nice thing, but it's like, who cares?
Yeah, Kentucky was ranked 17th to end or in June of last year. I don't know what else they were.
That's what I thought.
That's according to the NCAA website. But still, yeah. No, see, they don't care about football. But
I think my buddy Ethan's actually a coach on that team.
Tell them to spend more money on football.
Listen, I mean, they had the Connecticut kid, Mr. Mayo, Will Levis, and they still couldn't make it. Oh man.
You think you can win with a quarterback who eats the banana peel and puts mayo in his coffee?
I think he's doing that to intimidate his opponents.
I think if he didn't do that, they would have won a natty with him. That he killed their chances that bad.
I think he needs to start eating banana peels in London while he's walking around out there right now for the Titans and just see how many of these British people he scares the shit out of.
I feel like the Bobbies would say, hey, do you have your banana peel eating license?
Yeah, you can only have it if it's peeled because you can still stab somebody with it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to let Jared get out of here because he's got a show to do in half an hour. Jared, thank you, as always, for coming on.
My pleasure, buddy.
My ass. Love having you on.
Always, always love coming on the show. Because I get to talk college football without Mason talking about Oklahoma for 20 minutes.
Exactly. We barely talked about Oklahoma today. This episode, as always, is brought to you by Yeats. Head over to yeatsofficial.com. Promo code TAILGATE for some great sunglasses. They got some great shades for the Eras Tour if you're going. I've talked about this before. I'm going next year. I will be wearing my Yeats to that show. It's going to be great. I get to watch Travis Kelce's girlfriend sing some songs down in Miami. But some housekeeping as well. No episode next week. I will be in Las Vegas. Everyone prayed for me that I don't come back married because my family will murder me.
I will too, because I wasn't invited.
There is a 50-50 chance.
All right, Jared, I'll make my bet because she's responsible-ish.
No, she is not. She's the one who would probably push for it more. Jared, how about this? If I get married, I will text you about it first.
Give me at least 8 hours to get out to Vegas.
No, I'm just going to text you after. I'm not going to tell anyone before. I'm not going to have anyone talk me out of it if I commit to doing it.
I might like unscrew the tires in your Jeep for that.
Good thing she has a car to take us to the airport too. All right, everyone have a good, safe, fun weekend. Don't drink too much, and if you do, do not drive.
Seems like a simple equation.
Exactly. That's my Pat Sajak, spay and neuter your pets. If you get drunk, it's Bob Barker. You're right. It's my Bob Barker, spay and neuter your pets. If you drink, don't get a DUI.
Unless you're Marcelo Zuna.
So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Stu.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.